Everybody, let's turn in the white book and sing 188. 188. What we were sung, I read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's spend a few moments being still. O God of Jacob, in the stillness of a country chapel, we know that you are God. The earth is moving and shaking. The kingdoms are moving. But you are still God. In you we can find peace and quiet, calm, calmness and security. Whatever goes on in the world, whatever goes on in our life, O Lord, you are with us. You are our refuge, our rock which cannot, which will not be moved. So, Lord, on this day, on this your day, we thank you that you've given us breath for another week and that you will continue to supply that city with that secret water and make glad those who dwell within. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. Number 40, 40.
Oh.
some Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people stir up knowledge, store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. That was Proverbs chapter 10. Let's pray. Gracious God, may each one of us here in this chapel have heard something from that 10th chapter to address our situation. Lord, we lack wisdom. Please make us wise. Lord, as we hear your word preached, open our hearts and our minds and our ears too. And Lord, even after we've departed from this chapel, gone our own way, may you continue to speak to us through your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I shall read from verse 40 to 45. Now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that passage which we have read. And as we consider it again shortly, may your Holy Spirit be working in this place from pew to pew, applying its truths to our lives. Lord, having read that passage, we are conscious that there are folk of our own number who are not well. Lord, you know them. Lord, we ask that you might heal and restore. We ask that you might strengthen and comfort. Gracious God, we thank you for your kindness and your mercy. And those people we commend to you now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Before I invite up Joseph to come and speak to us, let's sing together from the book 522, 522.
Great to see you all here. For those of you who don't know, my name's Joseph Thornton. Usually I'm up in Newcastle working for Jesmond Parish Church as a ministry trainee. It's an evangelical Anglican church, and usually I'm involved in the kids and youth work there. But tonight I have the honour and task of preaching here in the church I attend, whether I'm back in the Northwest. Now, before I go any further, let me pray to start. Almighty God, thank you for bringing us all here today to worship you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, that though we are great sinners, you have compassion on us in Christ. Grant that my preaching tonight is of benefit, and grant that no wrong teaching comes from my mouth, but only your truth. Give us all ears and hearts to listen to your word and the beauty found within. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I want you guys to imagine for a moment if all your wrongs, every single evil thing that you've done, thought you have thought, intrusive idea that has passed your mind was displayed for all to see from now on. Written all over your clothes, on your face, your arms and legs. Not one spot blank. Just your wrongs for all to see. It would be horrible, wouldn't it? Everyone who you know, everyone who sees you in the street, at work, down the local Sainsbury's or wherever you shop, can see who you are. They will say that they know who you really are now. And we could argue that it's complicated or try and excuse the wrongs people now see, but the raw facts would be visible. I know that I would be terrified, ashamed and broken, and feel exposed. Now, my wonderful mum often tells me how amazing I am, my father and grandparents and other family members too. But I often think of her when I think of my number one fan. But if she could see the wickedness of my mind and what it has done, the wickedness of my actions, I wonder what she would think. No doubt she would shout right now that she would still love me. And that's what makes her wonderful, and maybe that's where my analogy falls short. But still, what would she think about me after this? And what would others in my life? And what about your lives? Would anyone be willing to help us after seeing all I'd done? Would anyone be willing to be associated with me? The reality is that we all would fear this. And if we don't, we really should. And we should ask, who is willing? Who is willing to help us? Or better yet, in line with the passage we are looking at today, who would be willing to cleanse us, to remove all this from us? Dwell on this, and I'm sure many of you have an answer already. But even then, dwell on that answer of who is willing and see how awesome it is. Before we fully find out and dive into today's passage in Mark, let me just read again, and then I'll set the scene for the reading we will hear. So first, the passage, if you look down, Mark 1, 40 to 45, again. Sorry, this is in, it's not in the ESV. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So, in the verses before this section I've just read, Jesus has just begun his ministry. He's withstood temptation and called people to follow him. He's shown his authority in casting out demons and in teaching, not just any old authority, like a leading scholar in a subject like mathematics or English, or in Jesus' day, the scribes of the scriptures, rather an authority that was greater beyond those, one that had its foundation in itself, meaning the authority Jesus had came from himself. It is really Christ showing himself as God in this, as divine. It may not be completely clear yet thus far in Mark's gospel, but it gets even more so. Jesus can teach, he can cast out demons, and he can heal by his own power. We see before the leper's encounter with Jesus that he was already healing people. In fact, so many people were coming to him for healing, he decided to go off to desolate places to pray and get away from it. When questioned by his disciples, He only replies with his purpose, being that he came to preach. So they moved on to the next towns to do just that. So Jesus has already been set up as a man with great power and authority, divine power and authority, one who could do things that are extraordinary. But again, most importantly, he came to preach and not just to heal. And so we get to the passage in our sight today, which begs a question from what I've just said. Why does Mark focus on his healing if Jesus came to preach? And it's a good one. Well, maybe Mark too is preaching something here with this healing. In fact, I think he is, and often we see this when gospel writers focus in on a miracle. They do not do this for no reason. There is a lesson, a teaching behind it, a teaching that not only Mark wants us to know, but God does. Jesus does. So let's see what happens in this encounter with Jesus, looking back at Mark 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Here arises the question again of who is willing. In this case, it's directed at Jesus as a statement. "If you are willing, you can make me clean," says the leper. Basically saying, are you willing to make me clean? Because I know that you can. Is Jesus willing? It's actually a fair statement from the leper to ask Jesus if he is willing. Why? Because leprosy was a serious illness, especially in the ancient world where this gospel account is from. Leprosy was a skin condition. According to some people in the time of Jesus, there were over 70 different skin conditions put under the umbrella term. Some were very severe, with pain or loss of sensation, discoloration, swelling, scaly patches, and rotting. People with leprosy could be described as walking dead men due to its effect on skin and body, which makes sense because due to a lack of feeling, you may not even notice how gruesome you are becoming and how bad you look. And in the end, it often led to death. However, it's a fair statement for another reason. Yes, it was physically serious, but it was socially and spiritually serious too, making it a tough ask for someone to risk healing it if they could. Lepers were outcast from society, cast away from friends and family, not allowed to go near. I'd also assume it likely that they were unable to go near friends and family because they were trying to get away from them already. Cut off from society, and people knew to avoid you because it was written all over you. It was visible. To be associated with a leper could deem you as unclean, touching you even worse. So worse that it went against Jewish law, the law of Moses, outcast, cut off from society, cut off from the fellowship of believers. And it's similar to the scenario analogy I used at the start. Imagine if all the bad we had or said or done covered us. No one would want anything to do with us. If you had leprosy, it was the same. No one would want anything to do with you. Who would be willing to help? But the worst thing is that, as a leper, you were cut off from God. You were not allowed to go to the place of worship, meaning no sacrifices to pay for your sins. Truly stuck in them. You cannot have communion with God. Leprosy was a spiritual problem too. It was a picture of sin. In fact, it had been used as a punishment by God for people's sin in the Old Testament. Sin being what truly cuts us off from God. Sin means we cannot be with God. So looking back to my analogy before, all the bad things covering us are the products of sin. You see, sin is not just stealing something or saying hateful and horrible words. It is our separation from God and rejection of him. It also leads to all our societal issues. When we reject God, we hurt others too. Its final result being eternal death, as rejecting God, the author and sustainer of life, is going to lead to the opposite. We are like the leper. We have a case of spiritual leprosy. Our bad thoughts and actions aren't actually visible to the world, yet we do see the effects of them in the world. The effects of humanity's spiritual leprosy, wars, death, abuse, pride and selfishness, and great evil. However, God sees everything, not just our outward actions in the world, but the inward spiritual leprosy. He sees it, the result of sin. And so the question arises again for us, who is willing to help us, to cleanse us? Looking back to the leper, notice in verse 40, the knowledge of his own state, but also of who Jesus is. There is humility there. He knows what he is, an outcast cut off from God. The boldness it would take for him to approach Jesus is admirable too. Jesus, who as mentioned before, was a popular rabbi. In fact, early in this chapter of Mark's gospel, we are told that his fame is spread everywhere. Not only fame, but a rabbi with the power and authority of God that was shocking the people of his time. The boldness of a leper to come to Christ, but also the humility. And we see the leper imploring him, kneeling down to him, and acknowledging Christ's power. You can make me clean. He knows who Christ is and what he is capable of. He is kneeling down to Christ, and you could say in an act of worship, reverence, or even fear. He approached boldly, but also humbly, and he asked humbly too. It's almost a paradox or a contradiction in a way, humility and boldness intertwined. And it reminds me of a verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even here we can see this paradox. We are approaching with confidence, but we are approaching a throne. A throne meaning somewhere with power and authority, even if it is one of mercy and grace. But leper's example should teach us not to demand, but not to be afraid in asking Jesus for help. To put our trust in Jesus' ability to heal, to put faith in him. The leper has faith in Christ's power, faith that is bold and humble. But it still brings us back to the question, who is willing? Is Jesus willing? Yes. Jesus was willing to cleanse the leper. In fact, he was more than just willing in some monotonous sense. It wasn't just a, yeah, sure, there you go, who's next, please, kind of way. It was, see what the passage says in verse 41 to 42. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Moved with compassion. Or as other translations say, moved with pity. As one commentator called Matthew Henry puts it like this, Christ's power is employed by his pity for the relief of poor souls, that his reasons are fetched from within himself, and we have nothing in us to recommend us to his favour, but our misery makes us the objects of his mercy. In other words, Christ's power, which as a reminder has already been demonstrated by Mark, is driven by something, his compassion, his pity, or we could say his love towards the leper. A deep love, it seems, like that feeling you get in the bottom of your stomach when you see someone helpless or witness something saddening. There was nothing that the leper could do to show his worth. His lack of cleanliness was all on the outside for all to see. Yet Christ was moved with compassion. Who is willing? Christ is willing. Christ was willing to heal and cleanse the leper, and so he did heal and cleanse the leper. The most outcast, the worst of all, the avoided, the disgusting, Christ was willing. But here's something amazing about this passage, verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Right bang in the middle, verses 40 to 42. In the center, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Replay the scene. A man who no one wants to be seen with, who everyone avoids, who is cut off from God, comes to maybe the only person he knows can heal him, with no right to expect any cleansing, with no right to expect to be healed. Who would want to be near him? Who would be willing? Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him. He did not have to do this. He didn't have to do this, but he was willing, not only to heal, but to show his compassion for the leper, his love for those who need to be cleansed. It's interesting as well with the wording, stretches out his hand and touches him. According to the Greek, I'm no Greek scholar, by the way, this touching wasn't some pat on the back or some light rub on the shoulder, but more likely a grabbing. Some would even say an embrace, and I won't speculate further on the Greek wording of the things, but just remember the extent in this of Christ's willingness. What's also incredible about this is that touching a leper should make Jesus unclean, as the book of Leviticus says. It went against Jewish law, the law of Moses. Yet after Jesus touches a leper and states his willingness, the leper is made clean. Instead of spreading uncleanliness, Jesus removes it. He removes the leper's pain and suffering in an instant. It goes completely against what people expected. The people of Jesus' time would have been shocked, appalled, and scandalized. Even today, it would probably shock us. For example, only in 1957, one of the last leper colonies finally closed. It was an island off the coast of Greece, isolated and cut off. It'd be like hugging someone with a life-threatening illness that is contagious. Back to the people of Jesus' time, this is what they would see. Jesus seemingly breaking the law, but in his actions, the very opposite of what the law says will happen, happens. Instead of unclean, there is be clean. And it was so. Jesus goes above the law in this, or in other words, he transcends the law, showing again his authority. In fact, it was almost showing his power over death. Leprosy being like was being like you're like it's like you're dead when you have leprosy. Sorry. Slowly rotting is separated from society, the land of the living, so to say, but now showing his willingness to cleanse, to bring back from what seems impossible to bring back from, like death. Now we are starting to see more and more why this healing is here, after Mark has just told us that Jesus came to preach. There is a teaching in the passage that Jesus is willing to cleanse. Now, as I've been alluding to, which hopefully I've done a decent job at, Jesus is willing to cleanse us too. He has the power, but also the willingness and love to. What is key again is that Jesus came to do more than just heal, calling sinners to himself so he can save them, not from physical disease, but from a spiritual one, the disease of sin which leads to death. In the leper, we can see ourselves. Without being cleansed by Jesus, we remain with spiritual leprosy, sin. Yet in Jesus, from these verses, we see a wonderful, compassionate healer, a Savior who was willing to cleanse us. He was so willing, even in his last moments, he said to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but yours." It was in those last moments that he would complete the task that can cleanse us, his death on the cross, and then his resurrection and ascension into heaven. There he takes our sin onto himself, making us clean from it. He dies with it, thus its power over us destroyed. Like the leper, all our sin can be cleansed. Imagine again all your wrongs covering you, cut off from God, gone, cleansed in a moment. Again, Jesus is willing, but this is not Christ, just Christ healing us when far off. We need to, like the leper, have faith in the power of Christ and come to him to be cleansed. Come to Christ in faith and humility, like the leper, and ask him to cleanse you. He is willing. Mark, in this passage, shows us that Christ is willing. His willingness should cause us to go to him. It starts with him. Now, maybe you're a Christian already, and think, well, I don't need cleansing. I'm already clean because of Christ. That does not mean you shouldn't go to him. We still sin. As Christians, we are saved, but we do still sin. And the Bible says anyone who denies that is foolish. We still go to Christ knowing he was willing and remains so. His hand reaching out to take hold of us remains. We also should be in awe of the compassion of Christ, his willingness to seek out those lost, unclean, like the leper, lost to society, lost to God. What a loving Savior we have in Jesus Christ. We should also submit to the will of Christ, like the leper did. Because ultimately, the leper was seeking healing from a physical, albeit societal and spiritual issue. But that doesn't mean Christ will just heal all our physical or societal issues. Maybe because it's not the right time, but because really we need to remember the greatest thing that he will heal, our spiritual leprosy, if we come in faith to him. If you've not already accepted Christ as your willing Savior and cleanser, then please do. All your wrongs, all your evil, even though they're not actually covering you like the man with leprosy, still affect you and affect others because of the sin they show, are turning away from God. Christ is willing to cleanse you. Turn to Christ, asking him in faith, "If you will, you can make me clean." He is willing, he is knocking at the door. Do not put it off. Do not think Christ unable because he is able. Do not think him unwilling because he is willing. come to the throne of Christ, the throne of grace, like the leper came to Christ all those years ago. So we've seen the willingness of Christ, his mercy on the leper, and how it points to his mercy on us. But what's next? Look back to the passage. Verses 43 to 44. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. It may strike us as odd. Jesus has just shown his willingness to heal the leper and has actually done it. Why not tell anyone and everyone? I mean, it is something very hard for the leper to not go shouting to the rooftops about. Also, is Jesus telling us that evangelism is bad? Well, to the latter question about evangelism, no, he isn't saying that. Jesus is trying to preach himself already, so he can't be saying that, and he commands us to preach too. But back to why not tell anyone? Well, part of our putting faith in Christ means trusting in him. This means trusting in his commands and following them. Shouting about this healing of leprosy takes us back to the beginning, that Jesus ultimately came to preach and teach, calling sinners to himself. He wasn't there just to heal, because there is a bigger problem to warn about, the problem of sin, which we have seen today. And if you read on to the next chapter in Mark's Gospel, you see this come out more clearly. As one commentator puts it about this, he, Jesus, did not want to be tagged as a celebrity miracle worker or exorcist. He did not want word about him getting out too soon or in a way that was misinformed about his purposes. We also see Jesus wanting the leper's cleanliness to be sealed as well, so to say, or officially proven by the priests of the time, so that the leper might be able to come back into worship, into communion with God. We can see in that, again, Jesus' care and love for the leper. And it all does seem confusing at first, but as we read on, we start to see consequences of disobeying in verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Jesus was not able to go and do what he was setting out to do, to preach in different towns. What's great is Jesus can still deal with this, and it's not like he didn't know that this was going to happen. It's great that people are still coming to him as well, but they're coming off the back of someone's story about healing, not necessarily about hearing the message proclaimed. Not that healing is bad. As Alan said, there are many, as some among us, who need healing. And we pray for that healing, and we know that Christ is willing. But there is something greater at stake, the knowledge and belief of the gospel, and the healing that that brings. That which provides true healing for spiritual leprosy. Because even though the leper was visibly separate from God by his leprosy, so was everyone else. So is everyone else unless they come to Christ in faith. So this act of disobedience of a leper is not one to follow. We shouldn't be disobeying Christ. It is important that once we have trusted in Christ and have been cleansed, that we should obey his commands, his will, and follow him. The leper submitted to Christ's will when he requested healing, but needed to continue to do so. Honor Christ's willingness. He has given you new life, if you believe. He has made you reborn, which means made new, according to a new self. Act in accordance with that new self, the new you. Ultimately, as I come to a close, remember, no matter how unclean you with sin you feel, go to Jesus, because he is willing to cleanse you. He has compassion for you. And I think that is the lesson that Mark is getting at here. And keep in mind as well, as the healing of the leper, this verse from Hebrews 4:16 again, that I believe holds relevance as well. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me pray to close. Lord Jesus, thank you for this true story about the leper coming to you for healing. Thank you that you were willing to heal him. Thank you that through this we can see your willingness to heal us, not just from physical illness, but from our greatest illness, sin. And thank you for the love you show us in this. Help us know to follow you in faith for your name's sake. Amen. I think I'm going to turn to the white books, number 51, please, to finish.
Be with us all, evermore.